This is the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome. The Doug Haldeman Show is brought to you by Cornerstone Mortgage. We're dedicated to being your resource for all your real estate, finance, and credit needs. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. For the past two decades, my passion has been helping clients develop debt strategies that have led to wealth creation and smarter spending. I'm an experienced real estate investor and a licensed mortgage lender, NMLS number 298-419.
When you need a trusted resource for your mortgage or real estate need, or if you have a comment or question, you can just text or call Doug personally at 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG. That's D-O-U-G, which is 3684. Or you can visit our website at DougHaldeman.com. That's D-O-U-G-H-A-L-D-E-M-A-N.com. You can also check us out on Facebook.
Check us out on Facebook at Doug Haldeman Show and hit that like button. Over 3,000 other people in St. Louis have. You get regular updates on Facebook with some of our blog posts. Mm-hmm. So here with my trusted co-host, my beautiful wife, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome, Tammy.
Thanks for having me today.
It is a beautiful day and happy to be here.
And it got hot, didn't it?
It's a great way to spend a Sunday is with us.
Right. There you go.
Well, and on our show, in case you don't listen to us regularly, what we stand for are the financial principles are going to make you successful. We stand for making wise decisions and learning a lot of lessons in life because, Tammy, you and I are both big on evaluating the different lessons that we run across
in life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of those come from our failures.
Fail. Right. And we're just trying to share that information with you, some of the things that we've learned and still learning.
Right. Yeah, the victories, the defeats, all of them.
Right.
Okay, so a victory that we had this week that didn't start as a victory, but it ended as a victory.
It did.
Is the sale of a property in Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, why don't we start out? This is a property's on Center Street, so that's how we'll kind of refer to this property. I think most people will refer to a property by the street that it's on. So Center Street property, give a little history on the property because this is one that you've had for quite a while.
I have. I acquired it in 2003. And one of the reasons I did that was to try to help a family member out. It was going to go to foreclosure, and I didn't want to see that happening for them, and ended up purchasing the property. The deal was I was just taking over what they owed on the property. So at the time, the market was really doing well. So the other homes around it were selling for $70,000, $80,000, some of them up towards $90,000. I was able to purchase the property for around $44,000. And I thought that was a good deal.
Yeah, this was back in 2002, right?
Yeah, 2002. That's right. Yeah.
And it was during your previous marriage. And
correct.
You thought you kind of stumbled into this thinking you were going to help a family member.
I stumbled in. Yeah. And I was willing. I was working at a bank. So, you know, we're being pumped with information about investments and loans and things like that. So it was in the forefront of my brain of getting ready to invest. I was ready. And so I was ready. I had to kind of coach my ex, John, on board with it. But he ended up being okay with the deal because we were going in with the property to turn it into a possible rental income. And that's where I landed. I went into the property, had some minor repairs to have to do to it, and turned it right around and got into a rental situation, which my first renter was awesome. They were an amazing family. I could have kept them.
That rental roller coaster.
Yeah, I did. I did ride that roller coaster hands up a lot of times. And that's, you know, that's probably one of my takeaways and my lessons is man, there's got to be a good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. So if you have a couple or if you have a partnership, playing good cop, bad cop is very important.
Very. Very, very important. If you're not going to hire a property management company to be your bad cop for you, in the couple, there really should be a good cop, bad cop.
Well, and in my experience of managing rentals, because when I had up to 112 rental units at one time.
I don't even know how you did it.
I didn't manage them all myself when I had 112 of them, okay?
Okay.
But when we had a smaller number, I did manage them myself at times. And one of the tips that somebody gave me early on was, never tell your tenant that you're the owner of the property. You just work for the owner.
Yeah, that would have been great information whenever I was going into it, for sure.
Right,
that would
absolutely.
Have been good.
Yeah, because if you don't want the tenant to think that you're the owner, because then you're not the bad
gosh.
Cop. You're just delivering the information.
Yeah, that would have been very helpful. So Doug, when I met you, I had just gone through my separation and divorce, and had this property. My daughter and I stayed in it at the time of the divorce. So keep in mind, my investment was $44,000. So then I get my original investment. And so then I get the appraisal back. You actually helped me set that up, getting that appraisal going. And it came back for
$26,000.
Yes. So, oh, goody. Look what property I get out of the divorce. So no hard feelings to John at all, but it was definitely an eye opener of, you know, what kind of work I had ahead of me. And I was kind of at a desperate situation. So.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. In case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1, broadcasting from the Cornerstone Mortgage Studios. And Tammy and I are talking about a rental property that she had through her divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and what to do with it. So
right.
In my side of this is when mm-hmm. I came in, the first time I saw this property and the tenants had vacated it.
Oh, gosh.
Man, it's like standing at the base of the mountain, looking up, knowing you've got to climb this huge mountain.
Yeah,
and you have
bad.
To take this big old sigh before you do it. Like,
right.
Oh, do I even want to get started on this?
Right.
Because this place was trashed.
It was trashed.
You know, you had meth heads there.
I did. I had, actually, what do they call those people that stay in a home?
Squatters.
Squatters.
Yep. Yeah,
I had some squatters in there. And it was just really because it was so much for me to handle on my own and trying to keep it all together, as many of you can probably attest to.
Right.
So, I had several different advice to plow the place down
and let it go to the bank. You know, my first response was, "Boy, you may want to think about signing this thing back over," because I knew it was going to take a lot of money.
Yeah,
and you know, to be able to get this thing up and running again. Because
I
mean, but, all the foundation issues that it had scared the heck out of me, because the floor looked like a skateboard park.
Oh, it was I called it the fun house, is what I call it, because I'm in the carnival industry, so it made sense for me to call it
that. A little carnival spin on it?
Yeah, yeah. So it was in really kind of scary condition, I'll say, but...
when all the things working against us, because the neighborhood was bad.
Oh,
the
neighbors didn't even mention that. Yeah, the neighbor...
There was like a dump right next door.
Yeah, we had a neighbor that had... He was just a hoarder, basically, and his whole yard... pretty much exposed that.
Right. And the fact that we lived over an hour away made it very difficult to do this. So every single time we want to do anything to it, it's an hour away.
Right.
Because then, you know, and at the time there's a little bit of lack of capital because we were both coming out of our divorces.
Correct.
So things had to be done on a really
tight. So, So let's talk about that. So,
and our busy schedules. So
right. Our busy schedule.
Three kids for you, five kids for me. So 8 kids between us.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to work the time in to go work on a property that's over an hour away was fairly daunting.
It was very intimidating at times, for sure. I think one of the things that kind of motivated me, my daughter at the time was needing a place to stay. Her and her husband, they were looking for a place. They were pregnant and needed somewhere. So provided that opportunity for them to stay there in hopes that they would help me clean it up.
That part didn't quite happen. No, it didn't.
That did not happen.
It kicked the can down the road for a little while.
Yeah, they did.
Back in.
Right. And actually, you know, I truly do believe that all things happen for a reason. So it provided them a space. It provided me time to be able to get on my feet again. And with Doug's help, we reinvested in the property. We were committed at that point to make it happen. I knew that that property could get turned around, call it women's intuition or whatever. But I think I just had a lot of passion and I had an emotional attachment to the property, probably because, you know, it's something I won, I guess, or something.
One of the only things you got out of a divorce. So.
Right.
Right. So you wanted to do something with it. When you were very determined on that property. And, and one of the lessons I learned from you on it is just sticking it out. Okay. That's one of the lessons on this. Just stick it out, put one foot in front of the other, and look at your resources. What do you have at your disposal that you can use to be able to get yourself out of a hole when you have a property like this.
Well, when you're on a budget, you know, what can be donated? What can be free? We got kitchen cabinets for free, and you wouldn't know it. We totally transformed those cabinets.
Well, yeah, especially since, you know, like we got somebody who was upgrading their kitchen.
Mm-hmm, right.
And the cabinets they had were these oak cabinets that were in mm-hmm. decent shape.
Right.
But we got them for free.
Right. Just updated them and remodeled.
You got the refrigerator
it.
Free. You got the stove yeah. for free. You got a vanity for free. You got a lot of free lighting.
Yes, I did.
Bust up on Craigslist.
I wasn't afraid to ask. That's right. my lesson. That right. was probably my biggest lesson.
Very, very good lesson there. Right. Don't be afraid to ask.
Right.
Now the experience of selling it, because fast forward, mm-hmm. the market was our friend.
Right.
Okay. The market came back during the time that we were rehabbing mm-hmm. this, and it can work the opposite direction. It has worked the opposite direction on me before, but in this case, mm-hmm. I was afraid we'd only be able to sell this thing for about the $40,000 that we had into it.
Right.
But instead, we were able to get $65,000 for it.
Right.
Full price offer.
Right. Full price, no closing costs. Everything was done.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it was on the market for, what was it, 5 months, basically?
5 months. It was on there for five. Yep. And, you know, it helped us recoup some of the expense that we did have, for sure.
Right. And walked away with some cash.
Right.
And then there's other lessons there, because now that, you know, you walk away with some cash, what do you do with that money? Becomes another one mm-hmm. of the questions. And my advice there is you have that money that's paying back money you probably put out in cash. Mm-hmm. You better pay yourself back, because if that's borrowed money,
right.
okay, somebody might have borrowed from 401k, or if they put it on credit cards, you better pay that back, or at least pay your highest interest rate debt first
right.
with the proceeds on something like that.
Student loans.
Right. We actually had a student loan for one of the kids
right.
that we paid off with it, because it was mm-hmm. our highest interest rate debt.
Right.
So that's where you just pick whatever the best use of that money is.
Right.
Lessons involved here. So number one, don't be afraid to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Number two,
don't be afraid to use some of that elbow grease you have stored up.
Right. You and I jumped in and did mm-hmm. a lot of that together.
Right.
Number three is don't second guess yourself.
Right. And where this comes in is that, you know, you're going into investment, you're going into that property, and if you start to doubt your decision, it's going to work against you instead of for you.
Absolutely. Next thing on the landlord lessons is play the good cop, bad cop. Mm-hmm. Okay, have a bad cop in there that can deliver the bad news.
Right.
Fifth lesson, Tammy.
Being invested as a couple. So, you know, originally, my first husband, we were invested as a couple. Luckily, I met Doug, and he was invested with me.
Well, our family was invested, too.
Yes,
we even had
our
the kids
family.
Out there working on this property.
And it worked out. So it's really important to communicate your ideas.
Well, the last lesson... Lesson number six here is mm-hmm. let the market be your friend.
Right.
Know when to wait it out.
Right.
Or if you see the market
going
down in a direction.
Know when to hold them.
Right.
That's Kenny Thank Rogers you, Kenny would Rogers.
Say. Well, you know, if you see the market going the opposite direction, mm-hmm. you need to cut your losses sometimes
right.
and take that loss now, because the loss right. will be greater later if you can't wait it out.
Correct. Right.
Because that trend can be a long time. So lots of lessons learned on our Center Street property.
Yep.
In the end, it was a good experience. And you got to deal with the experience of being the seller on the property, and
I did.
With
I wanted
somebody,
to
with a family member in the business, which was good for you. I would
yes.
assume.
So I do have to give, and I'm not going to be biased, really, people. But Doug was such a great help, because it can be an intimidating process to, you know, not only be a seller but a buyer as well. But what I got to experience really firsthand was the difference between real estate agents and lenders. And I will say Doug and Cornerstone really do have their act together, because what I was experiencing on the other side was a lack of communication all the way around, from agent to the lender side for the person purchasing the property, and just communication back to me. We had Integrity Title, who closed for us, who they were awesome. They did, for me personally, they did a great job.
Yeah, just trying to make the process easy, because I wasn't
yes.
on the transaction.
No, you weren't, but you helped so much.
Right, so just trying to tee it up for you.
Right.
It was definitely ended up being a good experience in
I'm
the
spoiled.
End. Definitely.
So be sure to give Doug a call at Cornerstone Mortgage. What's the number they should get a hold of you?
Best number to reach me is 314-472-DOUG. Again, 314-472-DOUG. Reach out to me anytime. So coming up, we've watched interest rates rise over the last few weeks. And when we return, I'm going to give you the insider tips on what's been driving the market. And you're going to learn about the term convexity selling when we return. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1, broadcasting from the Cornerstone Mortgage Studios.